DC Comics Summer of Mystery and Those Who Solve Them continue with Greg Rucka and Mike Perkins' Lois Lane comic book. David here, remind you to go check out my review on Spoiler Country.
From a fallout shelter somewhere under Seattle, Washington, it's the show you've been waiting for. Get ready to join your hosts, John and Kendrick, as they talk comics, movies, and more. Now here's Spoiler Country!
Alright, welcome back to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles podcast. I mean, welcome back to Spoiler Country. I'm Kendrick. That right there is a guy that can't say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And this is a running joke for now two separate episodes, and it can die now. No, that is Mr. Horsley. We're here to have fun.
We're going to have fun and make fun of me for not being able to pronounce words I like to say.
Oh, man. It just kind of cracks me up. But I'm an old school Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan. Like, I read the books. I mean, I remember when the magazine styles came out, and they were coming out of New York. And the paperback exchange only got a few of them. And then when they got picked up by, was it Epic?
Mirage Studios.
Yeah, Mirage Studios. And then the normal comic book size.
No, they were Mirage Studios. They got picked up by somebody.
I thought it was Epic. But I don't know. Whoever they got picked up by.
I don't know.
And they got the standard sized comic books of the 80 size coming out. And I got those as they came out. I got number two. I didn't get number one because I wasn't cool enough, but I got number two and number three and number four, and I think all the way up to number 10, somewhere around there. And so I read those as they came out. And I remember when the movie came out, it was a big deal for me and all my friends because we read the comic books, and then the movies came out and the cartoon, and we loved the cartoon. So it's funny to see somebody, you're not that much younger than me, but you're a little bit younger than me to where you probably weren't into that at that time with the comic book, because you're probably too young to even read it, because I think you're probably two when...
No, but I was on the cartoon. The cartoon came out in 88. I was six, seven years old.
Yeah, well, it was geared right toward to you, man. Yeah, but I loved it too, because I think I was 12, so it was still in my realm. And it's just funny to hear people now just whack so
big deal
romantically about TMNT.
Right. I mean, I remember when the cartoon came out and the movie came out. And so when the cartoon came out, I started watching it. And then my uncle, he had a copy of issue two and gave me a copy of issue two. I was like, oh, here's the comic book. And I read it. I was like, oh, my God, this is so much cooler than the cartoon is. And then I couldn't afford to buy at the time to buy any of the other issues, you know, or could I even find them anywhere?
Right. But, they're hard to find.
They were. And, but
I had a pull box, though, in 1983, 1984, so...
I did not. I was 1-2 years old. I did not have a pull box.
I had a pull box at the Paperback Exchange in Bremerton, Washington. That they were cool about it too, because I was like 10 and 11. So the ability to actually buy all my comics out of my pull box came at very random times.
I wonder if they'd give a pull box to a 10-year-old now without like parents signing them up and shit and signing contracts and shit.
Approved it. Yeah. I remember right. I might be wrong. They might have just did it. Because it wasn't like no sweat off of them, right? They just, if I couldn't buy it, they just put it back out there.
Right.
We're not here to talk about my comic book endeavors or even Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Not even close.
We have an awesome interview with Paul Dolsky, who has a podcast called Everything Horror, and he's releasing a short movie.
Yes, he has a short horror film coming out called The Passenger, a Vermont urban legend.
Yeah, do the movie voice, do the whole thing.
I did it before we recorded. Now I'm panicking. Like I can't do it again, but I'll try.
Or send me the link and I'll do it.
No, hold on. Let me just get my movie voice ready. The Passenger, a Vermont urban legend. The Passenger awaits you. The upcoming horror film based on the lady in the white hitchhiker ghost tale. I said hitchhiker. It's hitchhiker, not hitchhiker.
Oh, send me that. Send me that text. Let me try.
All right, hold on.
Because that's kind of cool. I want to try it, if you don't mind.
All right. No, it's fine. I mean, you can go ahead and be a showmanship.
Oh,
and show me
see,
up.
Now
fine.
You're making me feel lame. I just want to try it. Sorry. God. Talk about a bully.
Right? I'm your Flash Thompson.
Right. What are you writing? You're writing it out now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Just cut and paste, buddy.
I can't. It's in a picture.
Oh. Well, then copy the picture and just send the picture over.
I can't. It's all a right, background all right, picture. All right. That's a weight, not a watts.
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
There you go. All right. All right. There you go. Do it.
Blah, 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 blah. Brown cow, how now? The passenger. If we're not... Oh, wait. Let's do this again.
Try again.
Yep. This is what happens. The passenger, a Vermont urban legend. The passenger awaits you. How was that?
That was good. That was good.
There you go. Dude.
I like it.
I kind of want to see the... does he have a trailer?
I think so. Let's see. His link here.
Well, we'll put it...
It was on... He put it on Kickstarter, so...
Yeah, well, and we'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah. But also, it's good to note that Everything Horror and Paul was one of the podcasts that I went on to promote Ainz, and they were super awesome to talk with, and it was the one that I had to leave halfway through, unfortunately. So we recorded an hour with me, and then he recorded like another half an hour with Casey, and they were super cool, and they were big supporters. He was actually backer number one of Ainz.
Oh, wait. Isn't he the one that did the review of the story I wrote?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. There you go.
Yeah, and he was... Yeah, so Casey sat down with him and talked to him about Everything Horror and about his movie and about horror films, all that kind of fun stuff.
Well, let's take a listen.
Okay, everybody, welcome again to another episode of Spoiler Country. My name is Casey Allen, and today we have a treat for you. We have the podcast hosts of Everything Horror, and one of those podcast hosts just directed a film, and his name is Paul Dulski. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, pretty good, man. How about you? Great to be on.
I'm well. And with him is Tessa, and she produced and stars in the film. Miss Tessa Baker, how are you?
I'm good, Casey. How are you?
I'm great. So, okay, let's talk about this movie. You guys are all about horror. You live, breathe, and eat horror. So,
yes.
You have a podcast about it. And you talk about it on the day after day after day. You talk about horror. So the next obvious step is you make your own horror. How did that come about, man?
The original idea was like actually years ago when I was like in high school, really, where I kind of was kicking myself. And because I was like originally in digital arts. And then after I was done with it, I was like, yeah, this was cool. And then, you know, second year comes around for like my senior and I was just like, oh, I want to try video. And then, you know, that kind of failed out of like the blue because of my past year and freshman kind of screwed me over with credit. Anyway, so long story short is I couldn't actually go back to my the Stafford Technical Center as we have it here. So I couldn't really learn how to, like, shoot, edit, and, you know, do my own video stuff. So everything that you see that I've ever done video-wise were just me teaching myself. And then really just by talking with people about how they made their movies and what they used or what they, you know, tell you that they have or you have that you can use. And it was just like... Well, you know, one of the things they kind of tell you is like, well, if you have a phone and it is 2019, you can just make your own movie from there. So really, that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there was a guy recently who did a guerrilla film inside Disney World called Escape from Futureland, I think. He recorded the whole thing on his iPhone and in the future land or future world part of Disney World, and he actually took that film to shows. He showed it at indie film shows. So I mean, it's nuts what you can do now. And I see you while you're interviewing people. I see you picking those people's brains. It is amazing hearing you pull this stuff out of them.
I appreciate it. I mean, really, what you hear from me sometimes, it's just like, you know, stuff that I want to know. Because originally when I was asking, it was just like, well, if I'm going to do this in the near future, what would I need to know? And boom, there you go. That's how I kind of pull questions out of, you know, out of my mouth, I guess. Because, you know, sometimes I'll, like, you could probably hear me, like, I'm trying to think of something, how to cleverly say something, especially if it's like, feels like if it's on the tip of my tongue, and then it's just like, oh man, how do I put it into words? And that's probably the hardest thing, really.
Awesome. So, tell us a little bit about this film. Can you go into a little bit of detail? Don't spoil the whole thing. Just kind of give us a heads up about what it's about.
So, the idea really came from a real folktale that is based locally in my state here in Vermont, and the location that we're actually filming on is the real location of the folktale itself. And just to give people a little bit of a story, which, I mean, a lot of people may know the story as I kind of put in the trailer, like, we know the lore, but what exactly did we miss within the story that isn't really in the story per se, too? And that's where the film kind of comes into play, as if it's like one way of telling what happened. So, you know, you probably heard the ghost story too, right? And it's kind of like that normal thing where, you know, they could tell you, like, you got to drive down this road, and then, like, if you're lucky, you'll see this lady in white, and you got to, you know, roll down your window and ask her if she needs a lift, and then you just, you know, try to open up your door. But most of the time when you open your door to give her this ghost hitchhiker a ride, she vanishes. So I'm taking it more of an approach where, well, what if she doesn't vanish? And what happens next with that, which is the missing story? And then another thing that we're putting into play a little bit, like, it's nothing too spoilery about it, but, like, we're actually taking real things also being mentioned where the road actually is, where, like, there's a swamp nearby. And one of the known, you know, stories about the swamp area, too, is sometime day or night, people can hear mysterious voices over the swamp, and nobody is around. So that comes into play, too. And then we got another little thing coming into play, which all I will say for that is, the second story that I've heard about the lady in white in my area is sometimes the hitchhiker lady is not always alone. Sometimes you can see her pushing a baby stroller. And that is all I will say without spoiling too much.
That's creepy. That's really creepy. Yeah, and one thing I really love about this is, so you guys not only have the Everything Horror podcast, which I do want to talk about later, but you also have a podcast called Haunted Vermont. And not only it shows me that you love your state, you love the history behind it. It shows me that you guys are really, really into showing off this lore that is, you know, you guys are in a fairly old state. And I'm sure there are hundreds and hundreds of different tales about the history and the surrounding area that go into that. So I'm really impressed that you guys were able to pull a story from, you know, from real life and turn it into a feature.
It's not really a feature, it's more of like a short horror, but I do appreciate it nonetheless. But as for Haunted Vermont podcast, actually that had to stop because people didn't really like the quality and stuff. So I figured, well, you know, if people want to complain about it, And because we're not like these other podcasts, which I won't name, but, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just like, well, what's the point of trying to pay for a podcast hosting thing if nobody's going to appreciate the fact that I'm at least trying to give you local history? It's not like real life experiences from people who have actually experienced. So me and Testo said, no, we'll do season one all the way through, and then we'll see what the response is. If it's keep becoming bad, then we're just going to stop. And that, unfortunately, is what happened after the season one of Haunted Vermont, unfortunately.
I hear you. That's a bummer. But, I mean, it doesn't mean you can't go back and revisit it later.
Exactly.
Well, I remember when I was a kid specifically, I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and one of the books to check out at the library at Tarrant Elementary School was 13 Ghosts and Jeffrey, which was a regional. I mean, it was a book about the ghosts of Alabama. And it was 13 different, supposedly true ghost stories that took place within my state. And that book never stayed on the shelf. It was always checked out. If you were able to find it, it was in the return cart, and you snatched it up as soon as you could, because there was a lot of demand for that. It was that and nuts. Guillermo del Toro is making a film of it. It was a
Scary Story Told in the Dark.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So those were the ones you wanted to grab. And I love a good regional folktale and horror story. So so how did you find the people to get in this film with you? Are they all local actors and actresses? Are they friends of yours?
A little bit of both, you could say. Like, so here's the thing that I know a lot of people kind of get criticized on sometimes when they first make a film or whatever, is, you know, they make it with their friends. Well, of course I'm gonna make it with my friends, because at least by that, like, I'm not trying to sound like I'm rude, but I'm just trying to say, like, you know, if I wanted to make this film right, I want the right people on board, and the right people on board would be the people who I completely 100% trust and who I've actually worked with before. So, like, the male driver, who's going to be pretty much the male protagonist, is played by Jeremy Pratico. He is actually a really good friend of mine who I've known since I'm like 5 years old, and I'm almost 32 years old. So yeah, let me see here. Well, we got Tessa here, who is going to be the lady in white. So she can talk a little bit more maybe about that. But otherwise, you just want to watch out for her in the film. But next, we got two killers, which, like I was saying, without going into too much, and how this film is one way of telling the story of what possibly could have happened, because there is absolutely no documentation of who this lady could have been or where she came from, which I will touch on something that you were saying too there, Casey, is, you know, when you're talking about books and stuff, so we all heard that one tale too, either from a book or something, where even maybe your area might have it too, but we hear about a vanishing town. So we had one of those here. And what's really crazy about this, and this is actually in the movie somehow, like in a way, I guess, but we have a town here called Whipple Hollow. Well, it used to be a town. And what happened was, this town was so popular back in the marble industry days that one night the entire town packed up their stuff and left without any reason whatsoever. So that became a ghost town.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Well, the crazy part now is the tale that we're doing, the road that it's on is called Marble Street, and it actually connects to Whipple Hollow. So you got to look at it as, well, could this lady hitchhiker be part of that town that vanished? We don't know.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, you go get somebody to buy you some Boone's Farm, and you go on a ghost hunt, and you drive through the boonies, and we never saw anything, but we sure scared the hell out of ourselves when we were kids. And there was one place in particular where there was a series of houses just out in the middle of nowhere. And they were all empty. And the odd thing about it, though, it wasn't that they were all empty, like somebody moved everything out, you know, the family owned the plot. The whole place, it was just full of furniture, and everything inside it was rotting. It had been that way for years. Nobody, you know, sometimes those places, they'll be dilapidated and some kids will come by and break the windows out or something. None of that. All of these doors were unlocked. It didn't look like anyone stole anything, but there was like made beds and full closets and everything. It was such a weird, surreal feeling. So much so that as soon as you go in, you want to get right the hell back out, because we never could figure out what exactly happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was kind of terrifying. It was like, oh, what if there's a disease here?
Yeah, so, no kidding.
So, Tessa.
Yes, Casey.
How was it working for Paul? How was it being under his directorship?
Well, it's definitely been interesting. I'm used to working alongside him, so the fact that he is directing me, and it's been an interesting experience, I'd have to say, but definitely fun.
That's awesome. And you, I can tell this in just from, you know, being lucky enough to be on your show, you guys really play off of one another, and I can see that you both kind of pull each other along and support one another. So this venture must have been pretty interesting, because, you know, one person's in the driver's seat and you're basically the car. So you're the one actually doing the action while he directs. So it must have been an interesting dynamic. Have you ever acted in anything before?
Yeah, actually I have, but I haven't done anything like on film, but I used to do haunted houses.
Oh, and cool.
I used to act in those. I was a psychotic asylum nurse 1 year with like a bloodied up nurse's uniform and white out contacts, and I had my own syringes and my own scalpel and everything, and the name of my nurse character, you're probably going to chuckle at this, was her name was Eve Bola, Nurse Ebola. And it was just a lot of fun playing her. She was one of my favorite characters that I ever created. She would greet the guests when they would come into the house. She'd be standing up at the top of the stairs in her bloodied out, you know, uniform with her scalpel, dragging it along the wall as she would like descend the stairs. And there were these like flashing lights and stuff that would like play off of my white out contacts. So just imagine just imagine me descending the staircase with whiteout contacts with the black lights flashing off my eyes while I'm dragging a scalpel across a wall. Just like that's picture awesome. That for a minute. And then another year I was a dark occult witch, and I had the biggest room in the house because they loved my nurse character from the year prior so much that they wanted to give me my own room this time to have free range. And I got to play around with fake blood, and I had
your own succubus.
My own succubus demon. There's blood everywhere, skulls, sacrificing. It was just a bloody good time, and everybody loved Lilith. So,
did you ever have anyone freak out on you?
Oh yeah, I scared the shit out of a lot of people both years that I was in the haunted house. I had one couple actually like run out of the house like screaming, like, "Oh my God, she's actually going to kill us!" Yeah.
I helped out one year. I got lucky enough. I was in eighth grade, and my friend's older brother was a Birmingham JC, and they always put on a big haunted house when I was a kid. And I got invited to help out, and it was just, you know, the dumbest little job ever. We had face paint on, and the actual actors were doing their thing. And after they walked through like that one big scary room, we jumped out behind people once they kind of calmed down from the big scary room. We were kind of like a boo to keep them on their toes. And, you know, two little dorky eighth graders. So this will definitely date me. This couple was going through the haunted house with their light from the beeper they had. So like I said, it dates me. They had a beeper that they were using to light their path, and we jumped out, and the girl threw her beeper and hit me right between the eyes. And
oh my goodness. Knocked me out. Oh wow.
I had a huge bump on like right between my eyes on my forehead. It was pretty gnarly.
I actually managed to scare the crap out of my own mother. My mom came both years to the haunted house, and both years I terrified her. Like, she couldn't believe it. She's like, "I can't believe it's my daughter in there. Like, she's fucking scary. Like, she's so creepy. I can't believe it. Like, I can't even look her in the eyes. She's so creepy."
So some people genuinely have, I don't know if there's a name for it, but they're terrified of people in costumes. And my wife is one, and she found out that one of her coworkers is one as well, because she teaches kindergarten. The other coworker is also a kindergarten teacher. Somebody had a Scooby-Doo birthday party in her classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, they had an actor come dressed as Scooby-Doo in a Scooby-Doo costume. Big, goofy Scooby-Doo costume. And this teacher, who was 30, she wasn't a kid, immediately freaked the fuck out and got, keeping it in theme, got ghost. She got the fuck out of there. So...
Acrophobia is what it's called.
Yeah, to answer your question, really? Casey, there is a phobia of costumes, and it is called maskulophobia. The fear of masks is very real and is diagnosed as a phobia.
Wow, okay. So that makes sense.
It's a fear of mascots, characters, costumes, masks in general. It's something that stemmed most commonly in children when they're developing.
Wow. So, yeah, that's kind of might shed a little crazy light on. So you guys are halfway funded with this, and I'm looking at the campaign, and it's really cool. You have a lot of cool rewards on this campaign. You have a credit on IMDb. just for, you know, a $2 $2 contribution to the cause. $5, you get a poster of the movie and the IMDb credit. $10 gets you the movie plus a poster and the IMDb. But as you go on up, there's some really, really cool shirts that come along with this. Like the $30, you get a shirt about the passengers, and the passenger. And oh my God, that shirt looks amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about the shirt?
Sure. Is there any specific shirt, or just like all of them in general?
Well, because you have a few. Who did the logo designs?
The logo design for actually both the EH podcast one and the passenger were done by my coworker named Craig Shorey. Contact him by going to like craigshorey.com. His last name is spelled like Shorey. And then Craig as in like, you know, Craig. And, he a really good, I think, designer, really. I mean, you may think of his stuff almost like a cartoon feel, but, you know, that's not always a bad thing.
And, no, dude, I dig this. I really dig it.
Yeah. So like E8 podcast, that shirt was actually his first design that he ever made for us. And then when I told him we were working on a short, that's when he reached out and was like, oh, dude, I'm bored. Can I, like, make you a design? Do you need a logo? And I'm like, yeah, dude, like, do it up. like, do it up. We'll figure out something. And then I'm just like, well, you know, as much as I like it, and I kind of wish it was colored, but I could probably do it myself. But either way, I think it works as a T-shirt design to help support the movie, too, especially on the back of the passenger shirt. We get the slogan, "The passenger awaits you." So really, that's actually that design that you're seeing of the shirt actually is one out of two designs. So remind me again, is that the one where the passenger is out of the car, like almost to the side of the car, or is that like almost as if she's by the passenger side of the car?
That's the one where she's to the side of the car. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's the side of the car. But either way, there's two different ones. There's one either where she's like on the side of the car, kind of like near the hood. And then there's another one where she is like right at the passenger window kind of deal.
Yeah, this is looking really good. And I'm stoked to see this. And now that you've done this, once this whole campaign is over, which... I mean, you got a month to go. You're still fairly early in the campaign. I'm not at all worried that you won't complete this campaign because it's such an amazing thing. Do you have plans to do any more?
Yes, we actually have quite a few ideas actually after this is all said and done, because, you know, as with everything, and just like as we were talking with you with the project at the time, you know, our main focus is right now the passenger. After that, it's gonna be okay, well, now that this is over, we can learn from this experience to figure out what we can not do again or what we gotta do better, you know, that sort of stuff. Because, you know, this is personally my first time doing a Kickstarter and all that other stuff. So I'm reaching out to a lot of people that I've even backed their projects on just to see if, like, they will be a supporter, just like I was a supporter for their project to help make it come to life, blah, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know... I will say this, me and Ted, like, we can't really say exactly what's going on, but we can at least say this. Me and her are thinking of doing another one, probably just with her and maybe a little bit more, but we are going to entitle that short film, The Witch.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
In which I will be indeed portraying a witch.
That's which awesome.
I'm pretty much that 365 days a year anyways. So.
I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to see what you guys are doing. And you're doing it in the most punk rock way ever, because you don't you don't get half the education in a subject by just reading about it. You actually have to do it. You have to have field work. And if you don't, you're really going to stifle yourself. And movie making and the process behind it, fundraising, all that, you have to have that firsthand knowledge of. So it's really cool to see you guys going after this. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how it comes out.
Well, I appreciate it. And to touch on the whole, I'll touch on something else too. I don't know if you actually know this, but I'll just throw it out there. Before I actually started doing this too, I was actually first known for the short film that is actually on YouTube right now called Dead Static. That was my first ever acting role too. And we filmed that within 2 weekends for the last tale that I was in. I was the cameraman of the found footage, tale of the anthology, whatever you want to call it. So even just by learning with local filmmakers here of like what they did, what to look for, besides just talking and doing the podcast, physically me watching, learning, doing everything, even for that and a couple of their other projects after Dead Static that I was able to do, I actually learned a lot more. So that's why I figured, okay, if I'm going to do this, I know how to do it right a little bit. If not, I have friends now that I can reach out to and be like, hey, how do I get this particular shot or design or sound or whatever? So it's really cool to have that connection as well. And as for a Kickstarter, I guess it's a hit and miss. So it's just a matter of just promoting every day and just helping getting the word out, just like this.
Awesome. Awesome. And, I hope we can help you guys do that. And also while I'm at it, I really want our listeners to check out Everything Horror, because it's such a good podcast, especially, if you are even mildly interested in horror. If you like indie film, there's so much that you guys cover in that podcast, and so many really interesting people that are out there doing it, doing horror film, doing horror books, and acting. All you guys run it from the back to the front, and it is really, really quality stuff.
I appreciate it.
Well, we try our best. I mean, we try to be a really good team, and we just vibe off of each other. We work well, and it's a lot of our interests that actually bring us together. And we have
like peanut butter and jelly.
Yep, just like peanut butter and jelly. We complement each other, and we bring out the best in each other. So it just makes the podcast and everything that we do together just that much more interesting and that much more fun.
Awesome. And I'm going to keep listening, because I think we kind of talked.
You're about an avid listener.
Yes. I work in a lab, and I'm on my own at my microscope. And, so of course I'm filling my ear holes with something to keep me from going insane. And, so I want to thank you guys for helping me not go insane, or maybe fucking supporting me going insane, because some of the things you guys talk about are, pretty scary. So, you guys are awesome.
Well, I guess it's our creepy pleasure.
Well, we are the creepy couple.
Yes, we are known as the creepy couple.
That's awesome. And is there anything else as the internationally known creepy couple? Is there anything you guys would like to talk about before we're done?
What did you think of the trailer, Casey?
I loved it. I thought it was good. It was it didn't give too much away about the story. The scream at the end was quite blood curdling, and I was not expecting it. I actually had the earbuds in my ear.
Oh goodness!
I was watching.
well. I, on that note, I apologize.
Oh no! It was great. So.
You should definitely tell out about how that came to be, especially we're not going to leave out one specific detail, and that is when this was recorded, there was actually somebody by the swamp area doing something. So I just wanted to point that out.
You might have encountered some mob activity. I don't know.
So I will just talk about it a little briefly, how the scream came into fruition and existence. Paul and I, we were working on filming the trailer. It was just the two of us at the time. And we got done shooting like the actual video shots for the trailer. And then I turned to Paul in my driver's seat, and he was in the passenger seat, obviously. And I said, didn't you want your lady in white to scream? Didn't you want to hear what I sound like when I scream? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, hold on a minute. Let me get out of the car so I'm not doing this like right next to your ear hole. So I got out of the car, shut the door, and I turned around and I faced the car. And I just let it out. I just screamed. No holds bar, just screamed.
And like I said, do not forget the fact of what I just said. There was actually somebody
in a car down the road at the boardwalk of the marsh when I did that. So
and we were on like the side street.
And we were on the side street near the marsh. So there were actually people around when I did this scream.
They might have required a change of pants after that.
Exactly.
And Paul told me afterwards, after I did it and I got back in the car, he's like, I actually felt the vibration coming off, like from your scream. I felt that. And I was just like, really? And he's like, oh, yeah.
And then I said, if these people did not think a murder could happen here, they do now.
Yeah. So apparently my scream is very convincing. It sounds like I am indeed being murdered, but I just want to let the listeners know I am very much alive and well. So yeah.
I'm glad you're well. I'm glad you guys are making this thing, and I can't wait to see it. I'm for real.
Oh, I can't wait for the final product, because if this
campaign can be funded, then kind of the last thing we need to do is the practical effect. Unfortunately, our person that's doing it is busy this month, so we're trying to figure out a plan in August so we can record the final scene, which is where we see the lady in white's true form.
Oh, awesome. So you guys, looks like you have a pretty full plate with the podcast going on and finishing up this film. I just want to tell everybody, go to Kickstarter.com, look up The Passenger, a Vermont urban legend short horror film, and support this film. It's already got 55 backers, and like I said earlier, there's some really great extras that you get as rewards for helping this film come to fruition. And honestly, you're at the end of the day, not only are you helping get something that you want, but you're also helping indie filmmakers produce their first film. You're helping people that want to create something and make something new in this world. Make it. And it's such an amazing thing to see somebody go out there and do something that, oh my gosh, this is what they're meant to do. This is the thing that they are learning how to do and just blowing it away. So it's always really fun to see people achieve their goal and knock it out of the park. And I'm sure you guys are going to do that.
Well, we definitely hope so. I mean, we feel like what we can even do for you too is I'll send you a preview of the first opening scenes. Not all of it, but like I'll give you a good couple paragraphs worth, and then what you can do is do your final thoughts of what you think of our upcoming short, and then we'll see what your thoughts are for sure. And then, like I said, what you're going to read, too, is just one way of the story that could have happened. I'm not trying to, I'll let people know, too, is I'm not 100% saying this is exactly what happened. What we're trying to portray is everything that I was mentioning before is, you know, I heard the story about this lady in white, the hitchhiker, walking by herself. I've heard of her, you know, pushing a baby stroller down the road. And, you know, we heard about the swamp having voices being heard day or night over the swamp. So all of this comes into play, especially like I was mentioning where Marble Street ties into the road of, or excuse me, the town of Whipple Hollow, which is technically our ghost town, which was once populated with people during the marble industry, and then one night they just got up and vanished.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, and if you ever want me back on too to talk paranormal, I used to do ghost hunting. So I still have my evidence. They're up on YouTube. I still have some recordings that are not on YouTube. So I even have all that to even share if you'd like down the road, maybe closer to like Halloween or something if you'd like.
Oh, dude, that would be great. I think that would be super fun.
Yeah, but I will definitely send you a preview of the script so that way you can get a feel of what you're really expecting within the first, maybe we'll say, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, dude, I'd love to read it. Yeah, yeah. And if there's anything we can do to help get the word out through social media, we'll be more than happy to do that. We're, of course, going to pimp out this this recording of the podcast, but I also want to make sure to get the Kickstarter out there via our little network of social medias that we have. So you guys have always been awesome to us, and I can't wait to see what you guys are cooking on this. So, Paul, Tessa, thanks again. You.
See, that means a lot to both of us.
Good people are good people. So it's always fun when good people also make amazing things. So you guys check out Paul and Tessa's Kickstarter. It's The Passenger, and it is on Kickstarter.com The Passenger, a Vermont urban legend short horror film. And it's actually under Paul Dulski, PaulDulski. And you can find them, just type in The Passenger, a Vermont urban legend. That's how I found it. So, guys, I can't wait to see it finished. And you guys have a great afternoon.
You as well, and thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, and we're back.
We're back, and that was fun. And Paul's a fun guy, and I gotta say, Casey, once again, thanks for doing all these for us because you're a lifesaver.
Yeah, I mean, and Casey has a lot of fun doing these, and he's an excellent interviewer. And Paul was a lot of fun for him to talk with.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. I'm actually glad we decided to finally expand our horizons to a third, a third official member of the show. Yeah. Even though we need to have him on the show to talk with us more often,
right?
But just to have that ability to have somebody, you know, the roving reporter type
he's
of person.
He's been on like 10 episodes now, none of them with the two of us at the same time.
Right, exactly. He's never been on with both of us, but we'll change that.
There you guys go. So Paul has a Kickstarter for
Nope, it's already funded. Now he's just working on getting it done. The Kickstarter is done and funded. Oh,
even better. But there's a trailer for the movie, and we're going to put it in our show notes.
Yep, and we'll link out to all of his stuff and the podcast and everything if you can check out.
Nice. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed that. Go check it out. Go check out Paul Dulski and Everything Horror, and when his movie comes out, give it a view.
Yeah, give it a view. Give it a share.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're Spoiler the Country. We're heard everywhere podcasts are heard. And, of course, we're on all the social medias, or at least all the ones that we're aware of. But if there is one out there.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, we're even on Tumblr, for God's sake.
We are. We're on Pinterest, too.
Yeah. See? There you go. So if you want to, you know, hear from us, give us a shout out. We're very active on Facebook and Twitter. That's the best place.
It is. And if you want to come be a part of the Spoiler Country family, let me try that again. And if you want to come and be a part of the Spoiler Country family and write articles or read reviews, or if you want to review some books that we've gotten sent that we haven't had time to read and review ourselves, we'll happily pass that lineage on to somebody who has the time to read them and write the reviews. Hit us up at spoilercountry@gmail.com and we'll chat about that and see if we can hook it up.
Yeah, there you guys go. Don't forget to open the mind.
Read more.
Oh, you know what else we have?
What else do we have?
Voicemail.
Dude, we do. It's 707-656-2080. 707-656-2080. We also have a website.
scpod.net.
At scpod.net with articles, reviews, and more awesome stuff.
That's right. Now, open your mind.
And read more. More news, not how to say, guys.